Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 324. I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker. And sorry we missed the episode last week, but life prevails and makes us busy. But today we're back and we have so many articles and so much to do. So
a bumper crop from 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So let's dive in. First up, if you noticed, and I actually did notice this yesterday because I was sitting next to a teenager, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads were down yesterday. And I was in the car with my teenager and she's like, yeah, this is weird. Instagram won't load. And I'm like, oh, and Facebook won't, like, maybe it's down. I'm like, maybe it is. And it was. So
yeah, there you go. So honestly, I did not notice until I saw the article and I was like, oh really? They were down? Oh,
you and I would never notice something like that. We don't have time for that kind of stuff. But but a teenager, oh for sure.
No, I've used Threads a little bit. I posted a multi-post thread not too long ago because of something that had happened, and I was dissecting this offer for the benefit of other people. So, folks, I'm going to leave it mysterious. If people want to go and find it on Threads, they can go
find your thread on Threads.
They can find my thread on Threads. Yeah. That's good to know. But if they're in the Middle East, they might have a tough time with that because the Red Sea cables have been damaged, disrupting internet traffic. So apparently one of the undersea cables that carries about 25% of the traffic from Asia and the Middle East is damaged, potentially cut, and they don't know why. And it's an issue. And
there's a bit of speculation that it may have been intentional sabotage by some, let's just say, some adversaries. Which, you know, is unfortunate, but yeah, they're rerouting traffic. I guess, you know, people are still connected-ish. So it does kind of remind you that, like, maybe some of the infrastructure is not quite as foolproof as we tend to think. So
It's weird though, because, you know, I think we've talked about this many times on this podcast. I'm a big fan of wired stuff, not having wireless stuff because it's more resilient. You can get more bandwidth, all that stuff. But here's the downside is you can go cut it. And, but it's the other part of it I find weird too, is whoever cut it probably is using the internet too. And like, this is only going to hurt you as well.
Yeah. Unless they cut it and then went to a different part of the world. And they're like, ha ha ha. Gotcha. So, all right.
I guess there's that.
Next up, Google pauses Gemini's image generator after it was accused of being racist against white people, which I find entertaining. I mean, like just reading that title, I'm like, like my first thought was really like that. Was like, and then in the article, it talked about how the anti-woke crowd was enraged, and I was like, it's pretty sad when you're described by the anti-woke crowd wasn't
right.
So, I mean, apparently, like, it was generating pictures of George Washington that were racially diverse and pictures of Nazis that were racially diverse. I feel like that second one is kind of like a benefit to white people. Like, oh, maybe there were Nazis that weren't white. Like, no, all the Nazis were white. That they're all white. They were all white. Like, that's, you know, that, so you need that to, you'd rather that not be the case, right?
Yeah,
so,
I don't think any of the non-white folks were on that team.
I don't think so. No.
That's not a team that you can join.
Rooting against yourself at that point. That seems like a bad idea. Yeah,
The other funny one was the British like monarchs, instead of like the knights and things like that, the kings, medieval kings. They were not non-white English medieval kings.
I would like to live in a world where there were, you know, I like that. Like, that's like, to me, that's a plus, not a minus, you know?
I mean, so I think you get that in some movies, right? Wasn't there a King Arthur movie where the King Arthur was black? I feel like that was
maybe,
or maybe I'm thinking of like one of those movies where somebody gets teleported in time and, you know, whoever in King Arthur's court or something like that. Yeah. I forgot the name of the movies, but I think they were obviously comedies of having somebody like that.
Right.
Something that's not a comedy, impressive capacity and extended lifespan. Scientists have invented recyclable, quote unquote, wet batteries that won't catch fire.
Water batteries.
Oh, water batteries.
What did I say? You said wet batteries. I mean, water is wet. So, I mean, I'll give you that. But water batteries. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Water batteries. I'm a big fan of batteries that don't catch fire.
What is a water battery exactly? Like, I feel like I don't know how to store energy in water. Like, but then again, I don't know how to store it in metal either. So like, I don't really know how to store energy at all, other than like in calories. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Do you actually know how to store energy in calories?
No,
like, do you know how to do that?
Do you have
like beakers in the back of your office and you're doing like mixing of stuff?
The more I'm talking, the more I'm reminded of a Nate Bargatze bit where he talks about how, if he were to travel back in time, he's pretty sure he could never convince anyone he's from the future because he doesn't understand how anything works. You know, that's me right now. I think that's what this is. So anyway, tell me about water batteries, Sanjay.
So apparently they're not actually water, but they're using aqueous metal ion batteries. So maybe they do use some kind of water, some kind of liquid as the material in between the anode and cathode. You didn't think. Yeah, I like how you just went, like you knew what that is.
Yeah, I totally know, man. Yeah. Anodes are really my favorite. Cathodes are just like, they're just okay. I'm an anode guy. That's all I'm trying to say. So
we need to make a t-shirt that says I'm an anode guy.
And totally the only people that would laugh at it would be me and you and maybe my dad. Like that'd be, and maybe Mickey.
Yeah. That's my electrical engineering education there from Georgia Tech.
You could wear it to Georgia Tech and they'd be like, where did you get that shirt? I need
that's
that
true. Shirt we right would probably now. Sell a lot at Georgia Tech.
And by a lot, you mean four. Yes, correct.
I mean, at least four.
Yeah.
The most five.
Yeah. All right. Next up, peering through.
Talking about something that's only going to sell a four of.
For real. Peering through Lenovo's transparent laptop into a sci-fi future. So this is a prototype laptop, like a prototype car. It's not real. It's not production. But it is like it's very Star Trek-y. Like Star Trek had like transparent tablets, right? It's very, but like it seems stupid. Like it's like, wow, you can't read on a transparent. That doesn't make any sense. Like there's a contrast issue there, you know?
It's like, hey, let's take the Apple Vision goggly things and just make it a little tablet that you can hold around. And it's like that doesn't seem like that useful, quite honestly.
Yeah. Now though that you said that, maybe it is more useful because then maybe
you're just going to hold it up to your face all the time.
Like maybe you could like use it more like AR and it could have some AR type things without having to wear a pair of glasses or something like this. So that's actually kind of interesting to me more than like,
maybe.
I mean,
I guess you stick a camera on the back of it and then it knows what it's pointing at. And
yeah, I mean, stupid example is like there are these apps where you can be like, here's a pile of Legos. What can I build from this pile of Legos? But like,
that's true.
If you had like an AR thing, that'd be kind of cool for that. And then you can see your hand and like, it can be interesting.
But,
you
know? But aren't those things already existing on phones? Like, can't you already point it and then it takes a picture of the thing and then it shows you the thing?
Yeah, and they've got AR on phones too, where the latency between the screen and it just being transparent is basically non-existent to the human eye, at which point it really doesn't make sense for it to be transparent because you can actually, then you can brighten and dim the screen. So
we've gone from dumb to useful and back to dumb again.
That's correct.
Yes. In the span of about a minute and a half.
Yeah. They should have us on one of their advisory boards or something. We could really help them out.
I think we should be on all the advisory boards because we have all kinds of advice. And I think people should really listen to us, but they don't. And I don't know why our seven listeners really should get the word out they need us
get
on advisory
get
boards.
On it, fellas. I don't know any lady listeners, so I'm just going to say
I think we've got lady listeners too.
Of the seven,
I feel pretty good that three are women and four are men.
I would like to believe that that's true. So I don't know, but.
Yeah. Something else that people are trying to believe that's true. The moon lander is lying on its side, but still functional. Officials say.
You're like a conspiracy theorist when you say that. Like, well, I really want to believe that that moon lander's true. It just laid on its side in a warehouse somewhere, sending back fake images. But they don't want to believe it.
Right. Man. That's why they only have one picture from the moon lander.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, this was interesting because it's the first private spacecraft to land on the moon. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Land on the moon.
I mean, crash into, land on. it's functional. They're getting data from it. They did say, I read a different article that said that its lifespan is going to be decreased because the solar panel.
You think it's going to be decreased because it's laying on its side? Because
it's not getting all the solar panels are getting access.
Clearly, it needed one of those little bracelets. I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That's the title. That's the title. The title I'm falling is,
and it can't get up.
The moon lander has fallen and it can't get up. So, all right. While I'm typing that out, what's the next article?
Yeah. Talking about something else that's not going to be made or get up. Tyler Perry puts an $800 million studio expansion on hold after seeing OpenAI's Sora. Quote, jobs are going to be lost. End of quote.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah.
Like, I wonder if we're going to have just more movies too, because now people are going to be able to make movies that they normally wouldn't be able to finance. And, you know, the whole painful process of doing all of that.
Well, I think the cost of movies is going to plummet.
Right.
I think it's going to dramatically rearrange the economy around entertainment in general. I really wonder, I was thinking about this the other day. I wonder how far away we are from the first text to video AI generated, legit movie that like people really watch in the first text to text generated like TV show. Like we can't be that far. I mean, are we a year away? Are we 5 years away? Like it can't be that far. And if that's the case, like the creative process of it all becomes preeminent, and the set building and the building process of it all gets relegated to the background. There's always going to be a need for that, for like sound stages, I think, just because they're going to want to do things like a really like more authentic way.
Right.
But the need to have quite as many is going to decrease dramatically. I mean, I think it's going to be the same problem as like commercial real estate, honestly, like really a very similar sort of problem.
You know, you've brought up like an interesting idea, because we keep talking about how Netflix and all of these other services, Amazon has done this, where they keep increasing the prices of their video services because they have to invest in content. Are we maybe coming to a point where you don't need to invest that much in content and you can still have just as much content, maybe even more so. And maybe we're coming to a point where, hey, Netflix can maybe actually reduce prices and Amazon can reduce prices.
I think more likely a competitor will come in and just take away their business, honestly. Like, I think that's what's more likely to happen, because that, I mean, how often do companies like, oh, this is costing us less money, we should pass that along to our customers? Like, very rarely, right?
But the other
thing that occurs to me that's happening in the ecosystem is there's also a greater appetite for less produced content than there has previously been. Like, so I think you and I, you know, we grew up in an era where all the content we create, we consumed is very highly produced.
Right.
And so we kind of prefer that. But I know younger people, they're like, yeah, I just watch YouTube. I don't watch any TV shows at all. And like YouTube, the production value is way lower. And so I think Sora could actually have higher production value than a lot of YouTube does, and possibly do much better. So I think there's a lot of like really interesting factors that are all coming together, and AI is going to really shake things up in a pretty major way in that industry. So it'll be, we'll see what happens.
I wonder when the time comes when Mr. Beast is using something like this to do his videos, because.
Yeah, I don't know how you can do that though.
Yeah,
this whole thing is about people and real people. Right. It's almost like he's more on the reality TV side, which I think you can't really fake that. But if you were to say like 10 years from now, you were to say, okay, I've got a sci-fi book that is my favorite sci-fi book. I want to make that into a movie. And you go like, okay, well, I can spend $200 million to make that into a movie, or I could spend a weekend with generative AI.
Feed the book into the AI and let it make the movie, and then edit from there.
Yeah. I mean, like that's like the answer is obviously generative AI, you know, like at that point. So it's going to get really interesting.
I wonder if anybody has taken a public domain book right? Like an old, like a Charles Dickens book or something like that.
Right.
Yep. And fed it. Like that would be fascinating to see the movie that gets generated by feeding it into AI.
I mean, Sora is not open to the public yet. Right. So, right. I don't think anybody's done it. I mean, they might've done it in testing, but I don't think they've actively done it, but I mean, that's one of the first
things needs to do that. Somebody needs to do that for sure. Yeah.
We'll be talking about it on Tech Talk Y'all. There's no doubt about it. All right. Last up in this little segment, Spotify Hi-Fi is still MIA after 3 years. So now is my subscription. Sorry, I can't read today. So we talked about this forever ago that they're going to do a Hi-Fi thing. It's going to cost more money. It's higher quality, blah, 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 blah. I don't care about it. I'm not interested in it. I think it's a very niche market and it's still not around after 3 years. And so people are moving on to other services that have it. So
yeah, Tidal has been the one that from the get-go they were all about the hi-fi, high fidelity audio sound. But I feel like the reason why this happened was initially they were like, oh my god, we're gonna get crushed by Tidal and folks like that, we gotta announce something. And then over time they were like, oh wait, nobody's actually really leaving in mass for that.
Yeah.
So we don't need to launch this. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Some niche people like this will go because they actually care about the audio quality. But I mean, like the speakers I've got on my computer that I usually listen to with Spotify, they're not super duper. They're
good. Exactly.
So I don't
think it matters to me. It's a very, very niche market. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Next up, Google cuts a deal with Reddit for AI training data. And I'm going to go ahead and do the next one because I think they're wrapped in together.
Yeah.
Reddit files to list IPO on New York Stock Exchange under the ticker RDDT. I really feel like the first story of why they sold their data to Google for, I think it was $60 million a year, is because of the second story of like, oh my God, we're going public. We need to make the results look better so we don't get crushed.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree with you that that's got to be part of the rationale behind it. The other thing that occurs to me is that I feel like AI trained on Reddit, That seems scary to me. Don't get me wrong. There's some really good Reddit threads and I'm not really big on the platform. I use it just very peripherally, but there's a lot of like really crazy stuff and a lot of and Reddit kind of strikes me as one of those places too, where like oftentimes the negative voices are the vocal voices.
Right.
And so those are the ones that are sort of driven to a lot of posting. And so I feel like it could really like, you can have like a little jaded AI here if you're not careful, you know? So
I mean, we talked about it, how they've already got their issues with their image generation being improperly racially diverse.
Yeah.
So
let's just
add this into the mix.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe in all fairness, like maybe Reddit is like a part of the mix that they're training it on, not the whole thing. So maybe that's okay. But it poses the question, what corner of the internet can you use to train an AI where it's going to come out like it, as a positive experience?
You know, the corner that used to be good, and I don't think anybody really uses it anymore, is Quora. That used to be a great question and answer site.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
And if you think about it, like the intelligence, like some people that were really super smart answered questions on there that were really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it had a moment.
When's the last time you used Quora?
I have actually looked at it in the context of search results. I've looked at it a couple of times in the last year, but not otherwise. It's not
like, oh, let me go to Quora and find this or ask this.
I haven't done that in 10 years. I mean, when did it come out? Like the year it came out, I did that. Like that's when I did it last.
It was definitely a cool site when it launched.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 13 years ago. It was launched in June 21st, 2010.
10 years ago. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I was right. It was a decade ago. So
God, it's been around for 13 years and we don't talk about it anymore. So
yeah, there you go.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an expert.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right. First up in Weird and Wacky, lawyers who voided Elon Musk's pay as excessive want a $6 billion fee, which equates to, and they said this in the document, in the filing, equates to roughly $288,000 per hour.
Can I work on the case for just 5 hours? I mean,
dude,
10 hours.
Yeah.
If it's like, okay. Listen, like I don't mind.
That's a pretty good day rate. You know,
I can do that. I can spend a day on that. Yeah. I mean, so they basically got a $56 billion pay package rescinded.
Yeah.
So they're asking essentially for about 10% of that.
Right.
With 90% of the value going back to Tesla shareholders.
Yeah, I can see that.
In the scheme of it, yes, it's way larger than any other compensation that's happened for lawyers in a class action lawsuit like this. I think they said in the article it was like $300 or $400 million was the next largest.
Right.
But it doesn't seem unreasonable.
Yeah.
With how much value they delivered back to shareholders. Like,
I feel like they'd have been better off asking for 5%, honestly. Like, I feel like
$3 billion.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like 10% and like that level of money is like, it's like, but if they could be like $3 billion, oh, it's only five or like 2.5 or like 2.5% or like, you know what I'm saying? Some
$1.5 billion. Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, because it's still $1 billion.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
And I mean, at 200 and whatever, right? You cut that into a fourth and that's still $50,000 or something dollars an hour.
Yeah. Still pretty good.
That's like $100 million a year salary at $50,000 an hour. So
still pretty good.
Yeah, still pretty good.
Yeah.
Something else that's pretty good, at least for this person, a former Gizmodo writer changed his name to Slackbot and stayed undetected for months. The rest of that is on the company Slack.
This is the greatest thing I've seen. Did you look at some of the screenshots of the chats?
We need to read
some of these. It was so good. Okay.
Let's pop it open. So listen,
for those of you that don't use Slack, Slackbot is an automated tool within Slack that like updates you on things or says, hey, don't forget this, or gives you like reminders or welcomes you to a new, it's just an automated, like, it's not really AI. It's just like a little bot. Right. So he changed his name to Slackbot. Now he didn't use the B-O-T. He used the Unix O or something to replace the characters. So because the name Slackbot was already used, and he made it like a little frowny face, like an angry Slackbot looking icon. And then he just interacted with people as an angry Slackbot for like months. It's amazing. So, all right. Do you have one you want to read or you want me to start?
No, you start. I'm actually still looking at them.
Yeah. So, all right, let me find the one I was looking for. So, all right. This one, Slackbot said, a heads up from your pal Slackbot. Your account may have been compromised. Please enter your password to authenticate your account. So the guy goes, oh, shoot, for sure. And he puts his actual password in. And then Slackbot says, your account has failed to automatically authenticate. Please assume the physical authentication position. I don't know what the physical authentication position is, but that... That's amazing.
Here's another one. A reminder, all employees are expected to update their managers in Airtable on whether or not they have accepted the new flesh. I don't know what that even means. But.
I don't know what that means. The next one, this is great. Slackbot says, hi, it's me, Slackbot, with your tip of the day. Your tip of the day is, help, I'm trapped in the computer, Tom. Type yes to continue receiving tips of the day. So the person types yes, !! And then Slackbot says, you have been unsubscribed from tips of the day. Goodbye. I mean, it's just so good.
It's really quite funny. And I really kind of feel like I should grab that Slackbot avatar image and use that on all the Slacks I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, I would love that. You should absolutely do that.
Just for the heck of it.
That's a great plan. I would love to see what you come up with. So that's the greatest article I've seen in quite some time right there. Props to Gizmodo writer there.
Tech wreck, time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck,
chicky.
Tech wreck,
time to get your tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, it's tech wreck time. What do you have for us this week?
So I've got something that I'm using now that you'll be using soon that we're using for podcasting. It's the Presenter by Elgato. It's a new product that they've just released. It's basically a teleprompter. Or no, it's prompter. Prompter by Elgato, not presenter. Yeah. Prompter. Teleprompter. So basically what happens is you can take your webcam or your SLR and mount it to this thing behind a tilted one way mirror thingy, and it's got a display underneath it. So the display is already built in. The whole thing is an entire piece. You don't need to buy an external display.
Right.
It connects to your computer via USB, and it does all the magic of inverting and flipping the image. And then you just look at the person you're talking to and the camera's behind it. So it actually looks like you're looking at the camera. So you've actually making eye contact and not this weird, like, hey, you get to look at the side of my face thing that you see so many people doing on video calls because their camera is nowhere near the place that the image is of what they're looking at.
Yep.
So it's relatively reasonably priced. I think, what was it? It was like $250, something like that.
Yeah, I think so. $200.
So if you do a lot of calls, if you do a lot of podcasting or video stuff, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's got a proper teleprompter there too. So you could actually read a script while you're looking at the screen and record yourself talking to the screen. And it's got a few other things. For people that are creators, you can actually have a chat that's in line there. So you can read the chat while you're actually interacting. So it's pretty well done. I'm pretty impressed. It was pretty seamless. And the other thing I got to recommend, and I know you're about to recommend something from Elgato too. They've actually gone all in on doing more eco-friendly packaging. And I was looking at all the packaging. There's no plastic styrofoam stuff. There is some plastic that's a part of the product. Obviously, the product itself is plastic, but they are on a mission to remove one-time use plastics from their products and delivery of their products. So a lot of it was cardboard. And I flattened all that garbage down and put it in the recycling bin. So hopefully it'll live for another day. So I really do appreciate that. But build quality of the product is really high. I've not seen any issues. You haven't gotten yours yet, but they give you this little dust pad thing. And this is the perfect size to put on the monitor that goes up in there. So make sure you do that. It'll protect it from dust. So you don't have a lot of dust buildup on the screen.
Nice.
I just realized that the other day.
Good to know.
So kind of well thought out that size is almost exactly the right size there.
Nice. But I like
that. That's it. What about you, Adam? What do you got from Elgato for us today?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend the Elgato Key Light Air. So it's just a little light that stands up behind my laptop, behind my camera, you know, kind of shines down on me, and it's adjustable. So I can, you know, 20%, I think it's at 20% right now. I can go all the way up to 100. I can change the
wow. This is 20%.
Yeah, this is 20%. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, for those of you watching the video, that's impressive.
It'll
that's
only way 20. Brighter. Yeah. You can adjust the warmth of it. You can tie it into your Stream Deck and control it from your Elgato Stream Deck, which I've also recommended on the show before. It's a very impressive light. It works really, really well. So
yeah,
if you need a light to sit on your desk and shine on you for better meetings, it's a good one for sure. All right,
there you go. You reminded me of that Collective Soul song, Heaven Let Your Light Shine.
Let your light shine down. That one.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you what I... Yeah, that one. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what I thought those lyrics were, because back in those days, it was Let Me Let Your Light Shine Down, not Heaven. Because back in those days, like, it was hard to get lyrics because there was no genius.com.
Well, listen... Okay.
Back in those days.
So, all right. So on that
note, there's no web back in those days.
On that note, there's a TikToker that I follow now. Uh-huh. And he's like his shtick is listening to old songs with my kids and realizing the lyrics. And like, he'll be like listening to like a song by like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And he'll be like, oh my God, like this is like you could see his face. It like just turns it off. Like so many of those songs are about like drugs or like very much about like hair, like specifically heroin. There's some that like are like pretty bad about sexuals, like some pretty rough sexual stuff. Like it's like, like very popular songs that like we all sang along to on the radio.
Yep.
And it's like, oh my gosh. Like,
you know, they were back there fleeing and they were just like snickering.
Golly.
You guys don't know what this means.
Like some of it is really bad. So anyway, it's an interesting account. So, all right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me on my website, sanjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
Find me on my website, adamjwalker.com.